Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, April 27th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Off to Greener Pastures. This is from the Urbana Park District. Director to retire in June after more than 30 years with the agency. Quote, I could easily continue, but you're never guaranteed tomorrow. This article is by Jana Wiersema in Urbana. If you ask Tim Bartlett what he's most proud of during his time as executive director of the Urbana Park District, his answer isn't a specific program or construction project. Instead, it's an initiative summed up in the three little words that have become the Park District's ubiquitous motto, You belong here. It's an important message that we've found during very troubling times, Bartlett said. And after George Floyd's murder, that really galvanized things, and we really realized it's not just something we add to a shirt or a building, but it's who we are. And it resonates with Urbana residents. They continue to tell us, this is the way. One particularly vivid example of this is a story he heard from his staff members about a woman of Asian descent who entered the Phillips Recreation Center and burst into tears at the sight of a t-shirt bearing the words, You belong here, in her native language. And given that he's worked for the Park District for over 30 years, it's clear that Bartlett also feels a certain sense of belonging when he steps into one of their facilities. However, at the age of 65, he also knows that he can't stay forever. I love working, he said. We have so many great things we're doing. I could easily continue. But really, at that point in your life, you're never guaranteed tomorrow. Bartlett has decided to retire with June 6th set to be his final day on the job. He told the News Gazette that the Park District Board has entered into a contract with the Illinois Association of Park Districts to conduct a search for his successor. Bartlett began working for the Park District in March of 1992 after finishing graduate school. He had previously worked for the City of Urbana in Public Works and Community Development. I knew a lot about Urbana and had a good experience with the community. Really liked this town and their values, he said. And so there was a job that opened at the Park District and I thought, well, I like Urbana. It's a really good fit. They have nice parks, at least that I know of. I didn't know a lot about the district, so I applied. And I was selected and hired. So I left the city and came to the Park District. And I've been here full time ever since. Bartlett's initial position was planning coordinator. He later became the district superintendent of planning and then superintendent of planning and operations before being chosen as executive director in 2014. He noted that there are still ways he can support Urbana Parks after stepping down. For instance, he expressed interest in working with the Urbana Parks Foundation to raise funds and resources for the district. However, Bartlett also plans to focus on another cause during his retirement, fighting the current presidential administration. All of the things I cared about, the community, our diversity, our environment, environmental concerns, concerns about climate change, being decent to people who live here, has all dramatically changed now, he said. And so it's a time we really need to have courage, stand up and push back and say, we're not doing this. Bartlett added that while some people might think that a local entity like the Park District wouldn't be affected by federal decisions, the National Park Service, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and local park districts all work together and are linked together by many of the same funding sources. For instance, he said that Urbana's Weaver Park was acquired with help from federal funds. So if things aren't working well in Washington, we won't be getting resources like that, he said. Bartlett also expressed concern about issues such as reports of people being shackled and hauled out of town, and international students being targeted based on their viewpoints. One of the most successful things we've ever done at the Park District is establish our You Belong Here vision, where everybody matters, Bartlett said. We're here for the community, and we exist because they allow us to provide parks and rec services and special rec services for them. That's an incredible trust bond, and to see it broken by this administration, it's just heartache for everyone. Still, he sees Urbana as a community that is ready to push back. Inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. The philanthropic women behind the Kappa Kappa Gamma CU alumni flower sale have worked their tails off for 55 years, raising $135,566 for a slew of helpful community nonprofits. They'll do it one more time next week, this time to benefit Four Ospreys Veggie Van before hanging it up. A lot of us are getting too old, said Sue Young, who's been there since day one, when the sale started in garages in Champaign and Urbana. It's getting hard to lift the pots and all of that. It's a lot of work. The final flower sale will take place 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and 9 a.m. to noon next Saturday at the Indian Acres Swim Club in Champaign, where Young and Company will unload and organize this year's haul from Rop's Flower Factory on Thursday. The pre-Mother's Day tradition has benefited more than 20 organizations over the years, including Mills Breast Cancer Institute, Cunningham Children's Home, Crisis Nursery, Daily Bread Soup Kitchen, Developmental Services Center, Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, and Retired and Senior Volunteer Program. I'm proud of what we've done and given back to the community, said Young, a 1961 University of Illinois grad. I'm just happy we were able to do this for 55 years and thankful for the people who keep coming back year after year. Last year's sale resulted in a donation of more than $7,500 to the Veggie Van. Gail McWilliams has been volunteering since the 1970s and remembers the group's satisfaction when raising just a few hundred dollars in the early years. That the venture has grown so much gives us all a lot of joy, she said. Just a really good feeling. Come buy flowers. We'd like to go out on a high note. And in history, area history, in 1925, within a year and a half, a modern fireproof building of steel and concrete construction will replace the antiquated structure at Main and Race Streets that has housed the Knowlton and Bennett drugstore for years. The entire first floor will be occupied by the drug and bookstores, and the upper floor for modern offices. In 1975, a bill to allow the sale of beer and wine in state college and university student unions was passed 11-1 by the Illinois House Committee on Higher Education. The vote followed testimony by an Illinois State University student and assurances from Hugh Satterley, Vice Chancellor for Campus Affairs, that the administration of the University of Illinois Urbana campus had no objections to the proposal. In 2010, Chief Illini Wick no longer officially represents the University of Illinois, but his supporters have chosen a new student to portray the chief for several more years. U of I freshman Ivan Dozier of Ivesdale was appointed to succeed Logan Ponce as the chief portrayer at various events, including future Next Dance performances at the Assembly Hall. International history, today's highlight. On April 26, 1986, in the worst nuclear disaster in history, an explosion and fire at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine caused radioactive fallout to begin spewing into the atmosphere. Dozens of people were killed in the immediate aftermath of the disaster, while the long-term death toll from radiation poisoning is believed to number in the thousands. And continuing with Kathy Reiser's mailbag. If you have questions for our multimedia reporter, submit them by emailing kreiser@newsgazette.com. Now that the Hotel Royer has opened, what's happening with CU's other long-awaited hotel project, the Aloft in downtown Champaign? Doug Altenberger, a vice president with Chicago-based real estate company NAI Hiffman and Hiffman National, says, "We are moving forward this summer. The new Neal Street Plaza is exciting and will play a big part in the hotel. We are reviewing adding a rooftop bar and restaurant. During the summer months, when all the activities and events take place, it will be a perfect fit." If Altenberger's name is familiar, it may be because he starred on Fighting Illini basketball teams from 1983 to 1987. He also serves as an Illini men's basketball radio analyst alongside Brian Barnhart on some games throughout the season. According to the Aloft Hotel's website, the brand offers a comfortable, upbeat, and vibrant environment where you can express yourself with new friends and old in our modern spaces with local flair. Furry friends are always welcomed. The next question is, it's been more than a year since the Cake Artist Studio closed, and the owner set up a GoFundMe campaign to help her set up shop in a new location. Can you find out what's happening with her search for a new restaurant? Owner Ashley Freeberg had rented her bakery's space at 1100-B West Bloomington Road in Champaign from a family member for many years. When that space and the adjacent building were sold, she and the new landlord were unable to agree on terms for a new lease. The bakery closed in December of 2023, and Freeberg set up a GoFundMe page asking that friends and customers please consider making a donation, as this will allow us to solidify a new space, move out equipment and startup expenses so that we may continue being able to service you in excellence. The GoFundMe campaign page shows 68 donations have been made thus far, with $5,130 raised toward a $20,000 goal. I reached out to the cake artist this week and she replied via text message, "Thank you to our bakery family for reaching out for an update. I am still actively looking for a new location to reopen. It has been more challenging than expected to find the right spot that checks all the boxes. With the high cost of eggs currently and the looming tariffs on many of our imported ingredients, it does seem prudent to see how this may play out. I'm hopeful that lower costs and the perfect spot will show themselves together, so we may be able to bring all your favorites back to you." The next is the latest in our series featuring a local commercial building that used to house one or more businesses other than its current occupant. Earlier this week, we posted a picture of today's building on Facebook and Instagram, along with an invitation to readers to share their memories of it. That is showing a picture of Seven Saints at 3234 East Chester in downtown Champaign. Seven Saints Bar and Grill has anchored this corner of Chester and Market Streets in downtown Champaign for more than 18 years now. But townies of a certain vintage know the building had a long and colorful history, even before Seven Saints started serving its signature sliders and hosting Whiskey Wednesdays. Carlos and Marco Nieto founded Seven Saints, according to a 2007 article by Deb Pressey. General Manager Johnny Fallon told her the name Seven Saints was chosen because it was the NATO's seventh endeavor, and the space has a cathedral-like look with high ceilings. Seven Saints is now part of the CRS Hospitality Group. The 34 East Chester storefront, where Seven Saints' main entrance is today, was the home of People's Pharmacy and U.S. Postal Station No. 2 in the early 1930s. By 1935, it had become Mollett and Waller Druggists, and then by the mid-40s, it was Piccadilly Liquors. After that, it housed American Limb and Orthopedic, Arts Hair Goods, and then Seeley Johnston's Sports Shop, starting about 1970. The smaller 32 East Chester storefront, in the west one-third or so of the two-story building, housed the Illini Coach Company, Park Hill Tours, and the Union Bus Depot in the early 1930s. After Prohibition ended in 1933, it became the Utopia Tap Room and Liquor Store until at least 1950. After that, it was Downtown TV and Electric, American Limb and Orthopedic, Commerce Finance Corporation, and the Red Wing Shoe Store. Seven Saints also expanded into 30 East Chester Street, a one-story building that formerly housed Dan's Hat Shop. But enough about the legitimate businesses. If you're a townie who's read this far, you may be wondering when I'm going to get to the good stuff. Some history of the building's extra legal tenants that included a couple of gambling parlors in the 1930s. In 1937, an Urbana Evening Courier reporter gave his readers detailed drawings and photos of downtown Champaign's worst kept secret, the thriving gambling district centered along and near North Market Street. He found that even though gambling houses were hidden behind ambiguously marked doors, steep staircases, and peepholes, they were an open secret available to anyone, according to a Champaign County Historical Archives exhibit from 2018. The entrance to the 103 Club was on the Market Street side of Seven Saints' original building. A smaller, more intimate gaming hall on the second story of the building, the 103 Club was operated by Ben H. Durham, featuring off-track betting, craps, blackjack, and a pool table. It was popular with university students and farmers. The distinguishing characteristic of the 103 Club, according to the Courier reporter, was the large, faded painting of a reclining nude behind the craps table, favoring all bettors with a wry expression. Stables Annex was operated by Lloyd H. and Bert Pitcher. Stables Annex consisted of two large rooms, a racehorse betting room on the second floor of the 32.5 East Chester Street side of the building, and a cards, blackjack, craps room on the second floor of the adjacent building at 105 North Market. A door connected the two rooms. One could enter through either address and encounter the ubiquitous steep staircase and peephole familiar to Champaign's gamblers. Off-track betting, blackjack, and craps were the popular entertainments there, according to the archives exhibit. Champaign County History Museum manager Will Best, who gives Vice and Crime walking tours of downtown Champaign, said Harry Sales was the keeper, the on-site manager, at the Stables Annex. The Daily Illini had done its own investigative report on downtown gambling establishments in September 1935. Highlighting Stables Annex's welcoming atmosphere for students and cheap wagers, starting at 25 to 50 cents. Coincidentally, the number of police raids at the Stables Annex greatly increased after this expose, Best said. By the way, his next Vice and Crime Prohibition in Champaign walking tour is set for 1 to 2 p.m. today. Tickets are $15 per person and may be purchased via the museum's website, ChampaignCountyHistory.org. He will offer it again on June 21st, August 16th, and October 11th. The next question is, will the News Gazette film series be returning to the Virginia Theater? Central Illinois Multimedia Group Vice President of Sales Mark Lucas said, yes, The News Gazette film series is definitely returning, and there will be details shared in early May. A new element this year will include events tied to screenings in order to enhance both engagement with the community and the social aspect of the screenings. So stay tuned. A few mark your calendar items and dates. The Champaign County Crime Stoppers Shred event is set for Saturday, May 10th, 9 to 11 a.m. in U of I parking lot E14, just west of the State Farm Center. This is a fundraiser, and a $10 donation is requested to shred up to 2 banker's boxes of personal documents, including bank statements, pay stubs, old income tax records, medical records, legal documents, canceled checks, etc. Once they are no longer needed, secure disposal of these documents is recommended to avoid identity theft. Crime Stoppers and Triad Shredding also will collect unwanted cell phones for an additional donation of $10 per phone. Collected phones will be shredded off-site, and the company's components will be responsibly recycled, according to a press release. A U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency collection also will be held at the same place and time, with police officers on hand to accept unneeded prescription medications. The meds will be securely transported and incinerated. This drop-off service is free of charge. Liquids, needles, and sharps cannot be accepted. Nicole Millage, Environmental Sustainability Specialist with the City of Champaign, tells us registration for this spring's residential electronics recycling collection event filled up very quickly this time and has been closed with no wait list. Looking ahead, the next countrywide residential electronics collection event is set for Saturday, October 11th. Online registration will open on September 1. And what about the next household hazardous waste recycling event? Millage says the tentative date for that is Saturday, August 9th, with registration opening on June 16th. That is pending confirmation from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, which sponsors the event. This one will be open to all Illinois residents. And the next question. What was the name of the drive-in theater on North Market Street in Champaign? Local theater historian Perry Morris' website, cutheaterhistory.com, tells us the Twin City Drive-In opened for business on September 3rd, 1948, and closed for good on November 1, 1981. Its address was 2212 North Market, most recently the location of the Salvation Army's social service programs. Drive-in theaters had been opening all over the country in the post-war years, Morris wrote, and the Twin City was Champaign County's first. The rising birth rate may have contributed to the popularity and rapid growth of drive-in theaters. No need for a babysitter, as the kids could go along and watch or fall asleep in the back seat. The rows of this outdoor theater were actually ramps that allowed the cars to park at a slight angle for a better view of the screen. The ramps and driveways were all surfaced with crushed stone. Benches were installed on the first ramp for patrons who arrived on foot or by taxi or bicycle. And some drivers preferred the full open-air experience, sitting outside their cars. Morris says, the complex added a playground in the summer of 1949. Manager John Barr explained the playground was a diversion for the children while they and their parents waited for the shows to begin. The playground's original equipment included a sky ride, teeter-totter, trapeze, merry-go-round, and swings. In 1950, free pony rides were offered to the young patrons. Twin City employed ushers who directed patrons to parking places and helped with the speakers that were equipped with individual volume controls and 10-foot cords for easier maneuvering to car windows. The ushers also helped drivers leave the grounds in an orderly way when the movie was over, Morris said. The gigantic screen, covered with transite composition board, was 56 feet tall and 52 feet wide. One concrete block building housed the restrooms and concession stand, and another housed the 38 by 13 foot projection booth. The cinematreasures.org history website says that by the late 1960s, the Twin City Drive-In had gone from showing mainly second-run B-grade Hollywood features and westerns to mainly horror and adult-oriented films. The drive-in finally was closed by Carasotes Theaters in 1981 and its screen tower demolished not long after. Its marquee and concession stands eventually fell into ruin, wrote Cinema Treasures contributor Brian Kraft. And next, has H.S. Grinley Appliances in Savoy closed for good? The answer is yes, it has. I called there and a woman named Gloria called me back to say that the showroom at 1201 Wesley Avenue in Savoy is permanently closed. She said she checks from time to time for phone messages from customers who had bought appliances from the store. According to an obituary published in the News-Gazette in early 2024, the store's owner, John Cross, died in December 2023. The dealership sold Maytag appliances and had been in business since 1919. And in community news, this from the CU Mass Transit District, the board is to vote on annexations in Northwest Champaign. This is by Jan Wiracema. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District Board of Trustees will vote Wednesday on whether to annex two areas in Northwest Champaign. One is a 20-acre tract comprising the remaining plats in the Boulder Ridge subdivision and a couple of nearby lots. The other totals nearly 100 acres and is made up of parcels north and west of the Olympian Drive exit off Interstate 57. Annexation hearings for both areas were held earlier this month, and MTD staff reported that no public comments were offered at either session. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, April 27th, 2025. Please stay tuned.